Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 8, John chapter 8, and verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 36. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that is our subject this morning, free indeed, a true freedom. And this is a tremendous theme this morning, the theme of freedom, of liberty. This is what we will be considering this morning, freedom. And it is important to remember or to even consider that this glorious theme, it runs throughout the whole of the scriptures. So many people, when they think about the Bible, they have completely the wrong idea. The Bible is an oppressive book. It's a book about oppression. It condones oppression and slavery, and so on. It is a harsh book, but that could not be further from the truth. It is a book that teaches us and shows us the way to freedom. That is one of the great themes of the Bible, the fundamental message of the Bible. How can we be free? And so many Christians, well, all Christians, those who have trusted in the Lord, they have known that freedom for themselves when they have read the scriptures. Well, I just give you, just by way of introduction, a number of scriptures pointing to this glorious theme. Psalm 146, verse 7, the Lord looseth the prisoners. That's the great sense of the Lord setting prisoners free. And again, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and a prophecy of him, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's what you know as a Christian when you trust in Christ. You were captive, you were in prison, now you know liberty. This theme of freedom throughout the whole scriptures. And then in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Nowhere else. Just where the Spirit of the Lord is. Only God can give you freedom. Only the true and living God. And this is, it is a tremendous theme. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed, truly free. And of course, freedom is a theme that is very important to man, particularly modern man. In the society in which we live in, this subject of freedom is so important. Almost everybody believes that every society should be a free society. We should be all free. Every man, woman, and child, we should know freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to work, freedom to explore, freedom to express oneself. These are greater virtues and values in this society. This is the goal that man aspires to, freedom for each and every one. And yet the Bible teaches us that freedom is, it's unattainable for man. True freedom, that is, true freedom, freedom in its highest sense, that is unattainable to man. Freedom in its greatest definition, the Bible teaches that man cannot actually ever be free in the most highest sense. Now, most people will contest this, and the Jews of the time, when they were faced with the Lord Jesus Christ, they contested this, but many will say like them, I live in a free society. I am free to do whatever I want to do. But man's definition of freedom is so very limited. And I want to just explain this to you this morning. There are so many things that man cannot do, even if he wanted to do them. He is simply not free to do it. Man's definition of freedom is limited because he himself is limited. And this is something that we have to understand. Now, what exactly do I mean by this? Well, for example, man is not free, entirely free, because, he is limited in his body. Man, for example, is not free from growing tired, from being fatigued. Man needs to sleep. You can't just keep going on and on, living your life and indulging in all sorts of things. You need to sleep. You're not free from that. You are bound by the limitations of your body. Your body, well, it needs that rest. It can't keep going. So even if you wanted to go and party 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're not free to do that. You don't have the liberty. You're limited by your own body. You're limited by your own strength in what you can lift, how fast man can run. Man is bound by natural laws, the laws of gravity, for example. Man would love to fly like a bird. How many of us have had dreams? I know I used to have dreams when I was a child of flying like a bird, being free up in the clouds, free like a bird. But you're not free to do that, are you? We are bound by the laws. We're bound by the laws of gravity. So we are not free in the full definition of the sense. Because we are limited people, we are not free. There are things we cannot do, even if we wanted to. I'll give you another example. We are not free from time. From the onward march of time, we are slaves to time. How many of us would like to stop time? Just where it is. Just stop time. I don't want to get any older. I want to stay where I am. I want to stay at my age, maybe in my teens or in my early 20s. I want to stop time. But you're not free to do that. You're a slave to the onward march of time. Your body will age. You're not free from the aging process. You cannot stop yourself from aging. Free liberty, well, it is limited in that sense. Even time is our master. You can't go back in time. How often would we like to go back in time and stop ourselves doing those things that we are ashamed of? You think back in time, oh, I wish I had never done that thing. I wish I had never said that thing. I wish somebody had never seen me doing that thing. You can't go back. You're not free to do that. You are bound by time within the limitations of time. So I'm just saying all of these things because your definition of freedom is actually very limited. You're not free. None of us are free to do whatever we want to do. But the Bible's description and definition of freedom is far greater than man's. And this is a freedom that we can have when we know the Lord, when we have faith. But somebody without the Lord, somebody without faith, is not free. Something else that takes away our liberty is fear. A man without faith, well, has many fears. Fear is the opposite of faith. The only way you can conquer fear is by faith. But without faith, you are fearful. And fear is the great enemy of freedom. Fear is a great enemy of freedom. And you know this even in your daily lives. People are so afraid of expressing themselves nowadays. People are very careful what they say, what they post online. You can't just say whatever you want online. Why not? Because you're afraid of what people will say. You're afraid you might get some abuse. You might get targeted as some bigot, intolerant. You can't just say what you want to say on Twitter and so on. You're afraid. And so that takes away your freedom. You don't have the freedom to say what you want because there's fear. Fear takes away freedom. Fear removes your liberty. If a government, for example, is afraid of something, it will restrict its liberty. There are governments, for example, around the world who are afraid of Christianity. They're afraid of the influence of Christianity. So what do? They take away the freedom of Christianity. You can't meet in a church. You can't preach. You can't evangelize. Take away the liberty of a church because they're scared. Fear is the enemy of freedom. And sadly, we live in a world that is full of fear. And of course, the greatest fear of man is death. Death. Well, we have all seen with our own eyes how the fear of death in the last 18 months has taken away so many of our freedoms, so many of our liberties, because of the fear of death. This pandemic is in the world. We're so scared. We have to take away our freedoms, our liberties. We can't meet as we once did. We don't have the freedom to travel, to meet with loved ones, freedom to study. We have to close all the schools. Why? Because of fear. Fear is the enemy of liberty. We're living in a world that is full of fear. And the greatest fear of man is death. Well, even the Bible testifies to this in the letter to the Hebrews. The unbelieving man, the natural man, is all his lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. Through the fear of death, he's all his lifetime in bonds. He's not free, no matter what he thinks, because of the fear of death. How can you be free, truly free, when there is death in the world? How can you be truly free when there is that appointment that you cannot avoid? Death, which could come at any time. You never know when it's going to come. Any single moment, it could happen to you. You're not in charge of it. So how can you then say, I'm free to do whatever I want to do, when death hangs over you? Uncertain and yet inevitable death. How can you possibly make a claim that you are free? Dear friends, I'm challenging your definition of freedom if you are foolish enough to think that without God, you are free. You're not. All of these things that I have mentioned undermine that and contradict that. But this is, of course, the glory that we as Christians have. This is the freedom that we as Christians have. When we trust in Christ, the gospel message, well, it gives us victory over death. It takes away the fear of death. It gives us the promise of everlasting life. That's liberty. That's freedom. Life is not just 70 years on this earth and then we die. That's not a life that's fully free. A life that is fully free is everlasting life. Yes, we live 70 odd years, 80 years on this life, but we go to be with the Lord forever. That's liberty. It's not just a few years, pitiful years on this earth and then dying. That's not freedom at all. We live on this earth and we go to be with the Lord, a place full of eternal peace and eternal joy. That's liberty. That's freedom. And that's a glorious thing, dear friends. So we must challenge our definition of freedom. And the Bible, well, it invites us to do that. But let's just look a little briefly. I haven't looked at the context of this passage yet, but the freedom that is being spoken of here is slightly different, something that I haven't mentioned. The Lord is telling the leading Jews that, he has spoken about how the truth shall make them free. In verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He's speaking about the truth of God's word, the truth of the gospel. But, they say to him, the Jews, verse 33, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They said to him, we are free. We're free men. Well, of course, this wasn't entirely true. They were under the subjugation of the Roman Empire. But anyway, that's what they believe. But look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's the great slavery that the Bible speaks to us of. And the Apostle Paul gives similar words in Romans 6, how all men by nature are slaves to sin. And that's true. Man by nature is a slave to sin. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that man can never do anything good. Man can do things that are good. He can be kind. He can be generous and loving and charitable. But what it means is that man cannot escape his sin. He cannot escape his sin. He cannot resist his sin. He has no strength against his sin. Sin is his master. That's what it means. We are slaves to sin. Sin is his Lord. Now, there is much we could say about this, but you only need to look at history, the evidence of history. No matter how hard man has tried to free himself from sin, no matter how hard man has tried to create a society without sin, without crime, without corruption, without lying, without any of those things, he has failed. Why has man failed? Because we are slaves to sin. We don't rule over sin. Sin rules over us. No matter how hard we try, we cannot escape sin. We are slaves to sin. And, you see it in the world. You see it in ourselves. The unsaved man in his life has sin that he cannot control, vices that he cannot control. Even though he knows that they are injurious, that they are harmful to him, he cannot control them. It's like an alcoholic. An alcoholic, he knows that his alcoholism is killing him and is an injury to others, but he can't control it. He's a slave to his sin. A drug addict is the same. Well, now you may not have those kinds of sins, but I can guarantee you that in each and every one of us, there is a sin that you cannot control. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's your lust. Maybe it's your pride. Something that you cannot control. Something that dominates you, rules you. We are all, each one, we are all enslaved by our sins. That's what the scriptures say to us. And this is very sad. But one objection that has been made to this argument, to that which I'm saying, and perhaps you've heard this, some people have said to me, but hasn't God made me this way? You're talking about how we're all enslaved by sin, sinners by nature. Why would God make me that way? Do you know how to answer that? I hope you can. We speak so often about it. If somebody says to you, why has God made me this way? Well, I hope you will know what to say. God, when he created man, when he created Adam, he was not a servant to sin. The first man was created perfectly good and upright. He was not a slave to sin. He was perfectly able to resist sin. He was perfectly able to resist the temptation of Satan. This is what people don't understand. People think Adam, he was tempted by Satan. Poor Adam, he didn't have a chance. He did have a chance. He's not like us, born sinners. He was born upright. He was perfectly able to resist Satan, but he was also perfectly able to choose sin if he wanted to. He was a perfect man, but he chose sin. That's the great tragedy. This is why his sin is so bad, is so enormous. He was perfectly able to resist sin, and yet he chose not to. He, in fact, he chose slavery. He had liberty. He had perfect liberty in the Garden of Eden, but he chose slavery for him and for his descendants. Dear friends, that's what we do. That's what we all do. When we choose sin in our lives, when we choose sin over God, we are choosing slavery for ourselves. But this is the point I want to make. Adam's sin, well, you know the account in the book of Genesis. Adam's sin made him very afraid. Fear came into his heart and mind. You know, as soon as he sinned, he was afraid and he went and hid himself from God. Before he had freedom, he had liberty to walk with God. Now he was hiding himself from God. His fear had taken away that liberty. What a sad thing. Dear friends, does that speak about any of you? Are any of you hiding yourself from God? Hiding from God. So many people do this. Dear friends, a life of hiding is not freedom. A life of hiding is not freedom. I remember watching a documentary, and it was quite a fascinating documentary. It was about drug cartels and drug gangs. I think it was in either Mexico or Colombia. And there were these young men, they were parts of these gangs. But all they did, their whole life, was just hiding. Hiding in forests, hiding in woods. They were part of these drug gangs. All they did was hide. And I remember one of them was being interviewed, and he had to hide his face. Even his face he couldn't show. He had to hide his face, and he told the interviewer, "We are not free. We went into this drugs industry thinking it would be great, it would be wonderful, but we are not free. It's just a life of hiding in dens, in woods." But does that reflect you, any of you? Your whole life is just hiding from God, hiding from his word, hiding from anybody who wants to tell you about God, hiding from prayer, hiding from being convicted of sin. Is that you? You're hiding? That's not a life of freedom. Hiding from God, how can that be a life when you're perfectly free? You're spending your whole life hiding. Dear friends, come to the Lord. We cannot hide from God. We will all have to one day stand before God and give an account of our lives. And if we are guilty in the sight of God, well, then we will be banished forever. We will face an eternal punishment, an eternal death in hell, a place of no liberty, no liberty at all in hell, a place you can never leave. Dear friends, why would you choose that? Seek the Lord. Seek the liberty, the freedom that is in him. Trust in Christ. Christ has set us free from that eternal destination of hell. Christ has come down from heaven to earth, and he has taken that punishment for us, the punishment that we deserved, our hell. That's what he suffered on the cross. Lord, punish me instead of them so that they may be set free. They may be set free from that eternal punishment. I will take it in their place because I love my people. And that's what he did on the cross of Calvary. He has set us free. We were heading for hell, but by his blood, by his atoning work, his death, he has set us free from hell, set us free from everlasting death, free from condemnation. That's what every Christian knows. A Christian has no fear of judgment, no fear of standing before God, because there'll be no condemnation for him. Christ has taken the condemnation upon himself for me. And so there's no fear. There's liberty, there's freedom. Bold I approach the eternal throne, says Charles Wesley. He has that perfect and glorious freedom. Dear friends, my time is almost up, but do you know that freedom for yourself? No condemnation. Psalm 103, verse 12. teaches us about glorious forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's freedom. Perfect, glorious forgiveness. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, the prophet Micah says. All your sins forgiven and forgotten. That's freedom. All those sins in the past, you can't go back in time and fix them, but Christ can wipe them all out by the merits of his blood. Complete and glorious freedom. Dear friends, you must go to him. Recognize your slavery, recognize your enslavement to sin. Cry unto the Lord, say, Lord, set me free. Take away all my atheism, take away all my unbelief. They only keep me in shackles. Lord, I cry to thee, set me free, that I may know thee and love thee as I ought. Set me free, true freedom, true liberty in my life. And the Lord will hear, the Lord will answer. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. May the Lord bless these things to us and grant each one of us true liberty.